coming to you live from a room in a house. Bobby and Danny's Owl Movements with Bobby and Danny. Hosted by Bobby and Danny. And now, here's Bobby and Danny.
Welcome back to Vowel Movements, episode number 25. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Danny.
And once again, we are brought to you, as we always are, by TedAngel.com.
Now it is, they're changing the name of the site to the Mr. Courtney Barnett.com.
No. Yes, our friend Ted is married.
Yeah, it was an awesome wedding. It was a beautiful, awesome wedding. You were in the wedding.
I was.
You were in the wedding.
Excuse me?
How'd that feel to be in that wedding?
It
was in the woods.
It was in the woods. Yeah,
you had to go
camping. Just, you know, I had a job. I just tried to alleviate as much pressure from Ted as I could. But
yeah, you were definitely like the timekeeper and the, you know, mover and shaker. I saw the behind the scenes kind of guy there. I saw a couple of you guys taking on that role, but definitely you were in a show mode.
Well, you know, there weren't any pre-assigned, jobs or anything. It's like, yeah. Once we got there, we realized what needed to be done. And I got up there later than a lot of people. And they had, you know, the day before the wedding, they had a bunch of stuff done. But then I tried to kick it in gear and get a bunch of stuff, you know, taken
care of. And Courtney took his name, right?
She did.
She did. So now it's CourtneyAngel.com.
I believe so. Or that's Courtney Barnett Angel, maybe. Nah. I don't know, Courtney Angel.
We'll have to find out.
We will.
We must know. But congratulations, TedAngel.com. I think we'll just refer to him as TedAngel.com.
Yes, that is my favorite. So so here we are back with a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We started this podcast
25 years ago.
We did. Once a year we do a podcast. No, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I kind of modeled this one really after the Mike O'Mara show was the podcast I was listening to the most. I was listening to the Mark Maron WTF podcast.
Okay.
excuse me, some various, you know, wrestling podcasts. And then Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast came along.
Yeah.
Started listening to that religiously.
Yeah.
And then our friends, the Tagcast podcast came along. Yeah.
Terry, good guy.
And all of a sudden, all of my free time was spent listening to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really wanted to start a new band. But I wasn't immersing myself with music, you know, like when you get in the car, you listen to music. No, I was listening to podcasts.
Listening to podcasts,
so I basically went cold turkey on podcasts. I haven't kept up with our friends at the Tagcast since I went to my niece's wedding.
Yeah.
When you went to the Chicks Dig It show. and I'm now slowly getting back into it. And what's funny is, you know, two of my favorite podcasts are Mark Maron's WTF and Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling. And I listened to Colt Cabana on the WTF podcast.
Wow.
Today.
Wow. I mean, it's like with me, as far as podcasts go, it's like with reading, you know, as an elementary school teacher, you would think that I would just devour books left and right. But honestly, unless it's a biography about a pro wrestler or one of the Ramones, I have a hard time, you know, finding the patience and the attention span to sit there and actually read it. And so it's kind of like that with podcasts. The podcast radio shows that I'll listen to are wrestling related.
Yeah.
And I believe Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling is just outstanding, considering that man's work schedule and how he still religiously, he'll make them. I was listening to one the other day where he was in Japan and in his hotel room recording a podcast. And so,
yeah, I think about that because knowing how we do this here, and for everyone out there, we are still in my house.
Yeah. A room in a house.
We are still in a room in a house. There are still equipment failures. Ted gave me a new compressor.
Okay.
And that's not where the noise is coming from. I cannot pinpoint the noise. I don't know what it is.
So. Now, when we change locations, do we need to record a brand new opening? Because if it's not a room in a house, if it's an office space.
A room in an office space. A room in an office studio. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to think of.
I don't want to lie to our listeners.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to. We'll have to really.
Although we could be lying to you right now, we could be in our studio.
We could. We could be out in the garage.
Yeah, exactly.
We could be in our car.
Yeah.
We did record our car, like we have a car together.
Yeah, exactly. Our car. We did record an episode in your kitchen.
We did. Episode number 9, and then episode number 10 was at Foster's Bar.
At Foster's Bar. There you go. So,
yeah, I really thought episode 20 we'd go live. It didn't happen. Here we are at 25.
We'll get there.
But, yeah, we're going to go to the studio. It's just still not set up. I haven't pushed Tim hard enough to get everything going in the room. I've been kind of lax on it, but
we're like the Chuck Berry of podcasts. We'll do it when we feel like it.
We do it when we feel like it. Although waiting 2 months is, you know,
well,
because we just start to build up an audience and then we have to start all over again.
Well, you know, everyone's going to be so happy when they look on the Facebook.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, we haven't. We didn't pre.
Yeah,
what do you say?
Question. We didn't post anything on Facebook because we figured it's been a while, so we were going to have plenty to talk about. Yep. I mean, there's going to be a ton of stuff to talk about on this one. But usually, we'll post on like, hey, ask us some questions, and you know, there are loyal listeners who go to the Facebook and they hit whatever settings that they needed to hit so that it shows up in their feed.
We're probably going to bombard. Well, at least on all of our pages.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a new episode. If you're listening to this, please get the word out for us because really the only way we promote this show is through Facebook, and Facebook has kind of throttled our reach, so to speak. So.
Yeah, it's a shame what they've done because one of the great things that it was pretty funny because in my classroom, every week we have the Scholastic News, and it's actually very, very interesting because it's not dumbed down in any way. It basically takes the top stories in the news, you know, all the wars, the elections, all of the natural disasters, everything.
But Goofus and Gallant in that?
No.
Okay, sorry.
But they'll have a debate of the week, and they'll pose a question, they'll pose a situation, and then they have. There'll be answers given from various kids, one representing the yes and one representing the no. And one of them was about Facebook. Should children under the age of 13 be allowed on Facebook? And they have one kid talking about why yes, they should allow it, and the one no, and the kids vote on it. And then I was talking to the kids about Facebook and how before Facebook, there was this thing called MySpace. And I asked the kids, well, how many, you know, my students are 9 years old.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, how many of you have ever heard of MySpace? No one raised their hand.
Wow.
No one raised their hand. And so I thought, man, this is interesting. I'm like, well, before MySpace, there was something called Friendster. The kids all started laughing at the word Friendster. And I'm like, so I'm pretty sure you guys have never heard of that. And then, but it's kind of interesting because I remember MySpace was independent musicians' best friend.
Oh, of course.
It was awesome. I mean, I booked 2 U.S. tours on MySpace because they had features on there where you can just type in a zip code and type in a genre of music, whether it's independent or major label, and it'll tell you all the top bands in that area. And so what I would do is I'd look up the top bands in that area. I'd go on their page. They would have shows listed at various venues. I'd contact those venues. I'd contact the band if it sounded like us and then hook up something. And it was a great way. And then they changed that all little by little. And now it's, I think just for poops and giggles, I will go on the old Secretions MySpace page and just see all of the spam.
No, it's all spam. It's ridiculous.
There's a hip hop artists really like using the MySpace still.
Oh, well,
I get lots of emails from, you know, spam emails from hip hop artists and Christian country.
Wow.
Those are the two music genres that are just still using it for some reason or whatever. But like Facebook totally went the opposite direction. It's not really user-friendly for bands.
Well, I know we've talked about it ad nauseum here, but that's why I think someone like Ted Angel is really an artist's best friend. Mm-hmm. I honestly see it going back to owning your own identity.
Yeah.
Where MySpace and Facebook, you know, all these bands just kind of went there. Mm-hmm. I think artists are going to want to take that back, and they're going to want to direct traffic over to their own websites where it will have their tour dates and their videos and downloads or whatever it is.
I remember when MySpace was still on the upswing. It didn't blow up yet, but I remember, I forget the movie, but I remember it was interesting because I don't remember the name of the movie, but I do remember in the commercial, the website of the movie was myspace.com/ wow. the name of the movie. I was like, wow, a MySpace page is their website.
That's
funny. I thought that was pretty interesting. There was we played a venue in, I want to say, Fresno, like a club retro type venue, kind of a church run venue, but they had a wall of computer stations and they were all set to MySpace, and they would set them to each of the bands that was playing to their pages. And wow. so people can go and type whatever they wanted. And
what a trip.
But definitely Facebook has gone the other way. You know, they made it so where, like, if you want to get news from the band or podcast show, you have to put the settings so that otherwise it's not going to
go into your filter. Pop.
But I'm going to get every single stupid homophobic rant from, you know, whoever who's added me as their friend. And
excuse me. Nothing.
We're full of cheese right now.
We are full of cheese.
I think I ingested half of the cheese platter here at the Jordan household. So I'm full of Gouda.
Yes. You know, speaking of what we weren't just speaking of, but podcasts.
Yes.
I actually reached out to Colt Cabana.
You did?
I did. You know, he's played Viva Lucha Libre a couple times on his show.
And I've actually written an email to him.
Yeah, and on his show, he mentioned, hey, thanks, Danny, for the swag.
Yeah.
But someday he's going to have Bret Hart on his show. And if...
Wow.
And so I had to send him Is, Was, Will Be off of the knockoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Sell the Move record. Uh-huh. So I did write him. I said, hey, a big fan. Mm-hmm. And I basically said that if ever Bret Hart is on your show, I would kick myself for not at least attempting to give this song to you.
Absolutely. So. Bret Hart does have our CD.
Yes, he does.
He does, whether or not he listened to it or whether or not he just threw it in his bag or it went to the trash can as he was on his way to his car. Doesn't matter. I handed Bret Hart our CD.
Good work.
And there's a song on it, You're the Inspiration. It's a love song, but it's also basically a song about you.
It is.
You know? And then he looked at me a little funny. I'm like, it's not a love song about you, but it's a love song that kind of parallels your life. And I think the more and more I explained it, I think the more and more I was probably creeping Bret Hart
out. You know, my girlfriend at the time, we put that record out and she said, you write love songs to wrestlers, not to me.
I don't know. What I love about that song, Is, Was, Will Be, is it's not, I don't think it's about, it's written, a love song written to Bret Hart.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's these parallel universes, the path that Bret Hart has taken because of wrestling and how, and then the path that a person can take in their own relationship.
Yeah. You know, when I sat down to write that, it wasn't some big convoluted thing, but it definitely wasn't just going to be me writing about a wrestler. You know, I had to put a poetic spin on it. I'm not saying that song is poetic by any means, but you know,
I think it is.
It just, I wanted to put a different spin on it, not just, hey, look at the guy. This is, you know, whatever it may be.
No, but I think, yeah, so Colt Cabana, he was really cool. I had some friends who got to wrestle with him when he was in Hayward recently, Hayward, California, which wherever you're listening, it's about maybe an hour and a half from where Bobby and I are right now. And unfortunately, my band was playing a show. He was in Hayward. We were playing a show in Berkeley, just not too far.
Wow.
But it was the same night. And so I let my friends know, just please tell Colt that Danny from the Secretions said hi and that I wish I could be there, but we're playing a show.
Awesome. So
they passed the message along. He was a really cool guy. And they just said he just had nothing but positive things to say to everyone.
Cool.
He was just a great guy to have backstage and funny. And,
yeah, that's, you know, let's segue into that. I have a couple of things written down
for
tonight, but I want to talk about the NorCal Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Ah, yes. That was
which
a cool thing.
Our friend El Flaco Loco was inducted into.
That guy.
Yeah. But the great thing about it for me, you know, you talk about Hayward, and that's APW.
Yeah.
And when we came into Supreme Pro Wrestling, our trainer, the Big Ugly, had just left APW, and there was bad blood, and there was these strong divisions, and it was really great to see everyone come together for the NorCal Hall of Fame. It was awesome to see all the different feds, you know, people from all the different feds.
The two wrestlers who go by the name of Rick Luxury and Bobby Hart, they're really the driving force behind a promotion in Modesto called Pro Wrestling Bushido. And they're the ones who also put on the NorCal Hall of Fame. And that was the second annual one. And it's kind of growing little by little. So they're just, they're definitely taking steps forward with what they want to do. And I think just the whole landscape of independent wrestling has changed. You know, about 8 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, you didn't have wrestlers you're working for more than one promotion.
Sure.
They pretty much stayed. And if they did, they were crossing some serious territory lines. Now you've got these wrestlers. I don't know what it was, but whether companies just decided to swallow their pride or wrestlers really just didn't care what other people thought, they went and worked wherever they want. And now you've got all these promotions working together. You know, 10 years ago, if you told me that someone from SPW, from Supreme Pro Wrestling, would be holding the All Pro Wrestling
Championship,
I would have laughed.
Yeah, of course.
My head off, but you know, now it's there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, especially when we're talking about Tim. Yeah. You know how I know how much you think of him. You know how much I think of him. And Tim should know how much our wives think of
him. Absolutely, I think he knows.
That son of a. It's so funny. When I first met him, he was just this tall, gangly kid.
Yeah, I first met him. He was a reporter for the Sac State newspaper, just wanting to do a story on Supreme Pro Wrestling. And then he had no aspirations. He's just like, nah, I can never do this. I'm a writer. And then then the Big Ugly was like, oh, come on, just, you know, come and hang out and train. Ugly's thinking, all right, get another student out here.
Sure.
And then he starts catching on. He's like, all right, well, we'll make you a referee, make you a ref. And so he was a referee, but he was still training. Next thing you know, he starts excelling at what he's doing, and he's really proving to be a great athlete, and he's in great shape, and he starts working out more and really developing his physique, much to our, you know, chagrin. And
he starts looking like an actual pro wrestler.
And it was kind of funny because it was the second time that the referees had a better physique than the wrestlers.
And the other one was
John Morrison. John Hennigan, who became John Morrison. So it's kind of funny, you know, when we had these referees who had a better body on them than the wrestlers. But Timmy was a great, you know, great guy. And he's honestly one of the most respected wrestlers on the West Coast.
I'm
and his
so
name
glad.
Is getting out there. Yep. He wrestled Colt Cabana.
Well, I was just going to say, Colt Cabana, I'm listening to a show. I had no idea. All of a sudden, he throws out Timothy Thatcher's name. Yeah.
Pretty much called him the man.
That's awesome. Like,
this guy's it.
And for those that don't know him, he is just the greatest guy, too.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, I told him.
Sweetheart of a guy.
Absolute
sweetheart.
Unsolicited advice, I suppose, but I told him that he needs to believe that he is as great as he is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He is so humble.
Yeah.
He is so incredibly humble. He's just a nice guy. And the Tim that I met when he started SPW, and the Tim now, the one whose companies are throwing their title belts on him, is like, please, will you be our champion so we can put you on our poster? You know, honestly, that's what it is. Promotions that are starting up is like, all right, we can get Timothy Thatcher, make him our champion, put him on our poster, then we're legitimized. And so he is still the same guy, still humble, still laughing, still wonderfully geeky. I mean, he is not Mr. Cool. He is just an adorable dork of a guy, still the same guy. He's just in incredible shape. And technically one of the best wrestlers on the West Coast.
And not just his wrestling ability. Yeah. He's got a mouth on him.
Yeah.
But, you know,
he's really, that's the one thing that's definitely changed is his ability to talk.
Yeah.
His ability on the mic is just, I mean, he's outstanding. And there was a caricature of him drawn in a Wrestling Illustrated.
I totally forgot about that.
Another wrestler from SPW made it into Pro Wrestling Illustrated, J.R. Kratos. There's a picture of him throwing a double clothesline on the Suburban Commandos.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's in the latest edition of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. So
let's take a little break.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit more about the Hall of Fame when we get back, and then we'll get into some other stuff.
All right.
All right.
Rise above, we're gonna rise above.
Dan, all this equipment is falling apart.
Hey there, Prince. I really like the purple duct tape on your mic stand.
Well, what else am I supposed to do?
Why don't you just go to Amazon and buy a mic stand?
Hey, speaking of that,
you can go to valmovements.net and click support, and that'll take you directly to a banner that you can click that'll take you to Amazon.
And when you shop on Amazon through our page at valmovements.net, we get a couple of bucks for it, and it doesn't cost you anything more. All right, welcome back to Vowel Movements, episode 25.
Wonderful music selection this evening, Mr. Jordan. Wonderful
music selection. We're listening to some punk rock tonight.
I like it.
Well, this weekend we've got your birthday shows coming up.
The F Cancer / Cancer Sucks / Danny Secretion's Lame Ass Birthday Bash. Yes.
Yeah. We'll get into that. I want to touch on a little bit more just on the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Our friend El Flaco Loco was inducted. Our trainer, the big ugly J.D. Bishop, was inducted.
His trainer, Brian Ward, was
Brian
also
Ward,
was
who
inducted.
We've talked about on a not too distant episode, maybe two or three back. We talked about Brian.
Yeah,
it was really great. I was standing in line, and he came right up to me and looked at me, and I shook his hand. I just said, oh, I'm Dangerous Dylan. Just kind of refreshed his memory. He's like, oh, of course. And it was just really good. Like, wow.
Great guy. I'm glad to see that he's back, getting back involved in it. And then also Bison Smith, the late Bison Smith, who unfortunately, I was really sad when I got the news that he passed away. Because I'd only been on maybe about four or five shows with Bison. Mm-hmm. Always a nice guy. Scared the crap out of me the first time I saw him because he was huge. He was a wall of humanity and just this giant man who looked like a buffalo. He just had this big blonde mohawk and he was just this giant muscular man and just a really cool guy backstage and just really nice, really friendly. Not too over the top as far as his character. He's just really quiet but really nice guy, and it was a shame to
that is a bummer
here that he passed away. And he really went a lot of places. He worked all over in Japan. He was in Ring of Honor. It probably was going to be only a matter of time before he got noticed by either TNA or WWE.
Well, everybody talked about him too. Yeah. I mean, when you read anything about the indies, people are always talking about him. So how do you think Sean Hills is taking the new Vowel Movements episode so far?
I think Sean Hills is loving this episode because there's so much wrestling, and now Sean.
Yeah, we took our Dan, I guess,
the four of us.
Spit it out. me and Paloma.
Well, I think telling the story of how you acquired these tickets is a pretty interesting story as well. Because you got some tickets. You had a friend at a radio station.
Oh yeah, the ZZ Top was playing, and the day of the show, I just said, "Hey, I know it's last minute. Are there any tickets floating around for ZZ Top?" He said, "Yeah, sure. Come by the station and get them." Mm-hmm. He taped them up in a secret spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I got them. Excuse me. And there was a little something extra in there for us.
And that little something extra was?
Four tickets to Monday Night Raw in Sacramento, California.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, my wife couldn't come. And so...
And she couldn't come because she couldn't get off early. And you were hoping to get out early because they're in Sacramento. Some of our friends always get invited to come out. And hopefully one of them was going to get...
Some of our friends we spoke about earlier, J.R. Kratos.
Mm-hmm.
And another one of the Supreme Pro Wrestling students, Brian Tannen. Both they have the look.
Mm-hmm.
They're big guys. They're young. They've got talent. Super humble, and so they've been noticed. And so they're called in. And basically, when you're an independent wrestler and they want to take a look at you. And if nothing else, they'll give you a job as, you know, security. So whenever you're watching pro wrestling and you see security come and take someone out, it's generally an independent wrestler mm-hmm. from that area. If you're really beyond that point, they'll give you what's called a dark match, which is before the cameras start rolling, they bring out a wrestler that they're trying to develop against a local nobody, and they have what would be considered a squash match. Nobody gets no offense in. He just goes in there, takes a few punches, takes a few kicks, takes the person's finisher. And they're looking at him to see what their timing sure. is like uh-huh. in the ring. Unfortunately, so I wanted to get there early just to see in case there was a dark match so I can see one of my friends in there working in the ring. And unfortunately, neither one of them got called for that, but they were just backstage. And so pretty much you just hang out backstage. And
nothing wrong with rubbing elbows.
No, not at all.
Getting yourself known, meeting people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And my friend Drake Nelson, has a little web show.
Mm-hmm.
And a web podcast, I guess. And he had Adam Thornstow as a guest. And Adam talks about what it's like to be one of those wrestlers on call, just hanging out back there. He's like, I think, and he said, every wrestler should do it just for the catering. He's like, the WWE has the best, anything you can imagine, they have it back there. And it's just
awesome. That's awesome.
So you should do it just for that. And so we went there. And so I wanted to get there early. My wife couldn't get off at work early, so I thought, how funny would it be? Sean Hills, the person who's become almost a character on our show as the anti-wrestling voice uh-huh. of our listeners. You know, it was like, all right, we're talking about wrestling too much. Sean's probably somewhere kicking his computer or whatever. And so how funny would it bring to bring Sean? And Sean had a blast.
He did. That was
he absolutely loved
well,
it.
Well, he took in the spectacle.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he's like, he took it for what it was. It's a spectacle.
Uh-huh.
So,
and I think
awesome.
Somewhere on my phone, I still have a text message that I received from him recently at night. Let's see if I can pull it up. Here we go. There's a few people whose text messages I don't delete because there's so much information in them. I'm probably supposed to know something. Oh, here it is. November 4th, 7:42 p.m. I'm watching old Undertaker matches on Netflix right now. WrestleMania 8 versus Jake the Snake. That is, and I, of all the
Sucker
people
to me
of all the people I thought I was going to get a wrestling text message from, Sean Hills was yeah. not the one, but he had a great time. For those of you who are WWE fans, that was the infamous episode where CM Punk took a swing at a fan.
Yep.
And by took a swing, I mean connected.
Yes.
On that swing.
Yeah, that was boy yeah. that
but
was,
what a great show it was.
It was a great time. And that's the thing, like, I've been to some great shows. I've been mm-hmm. to some lackluster shows. That Raw was fantastic.
Yeah, it was
like
good.
From start to finish. Like mm-hmm. they just did it right that night. Yeah. Everything was great that
and
night.
And we had a couple of friends there too. Brian Hanover was actually there with his son.
You're kidding? I didn't
yeah.
see Brian.
Oh yeah, he was somewhere else. Because on Facebook I saw Brian's wife posted a picture of their son, and their son's wearing a John Cena shirt.
Ah.
And I wrote a comment, "Hey, nice shirt, kid." And when I went over to Brian's house recently to pick up an order of shirts, we were talking about that, and Brian was telling me, I was there. He's like, I'd never been to one of those, or I haven't been to one of those in the longest time since I was a little kid, and we just had a blast.
That's awesome.
So it's kind of funny. So there was all these people we knew just spread out in the arena. But but no, that was a great time. I think Sean had a fun time.
Sure.
I think he saw the performance side of it, and just... I think the biggest shot for him was the pyro.
Well, I have to. So we were sitting on pretty close to the pyro side,
yeah.
and it was loud.
Yeah.
It was like pants filling loud.
Yeah, it's like a Kiss concert.
It is.
You got one of these, the explosions, the fire. It's a Kiss concert.
Yeah,
there.
It was crazy.
Yeah, so I had a great time.
I had a great time as well.
But the Hall of Fame was a good thing, and I think
it was really great for me to see so many people saying such glowing things about yeah. the Big Ugly.
Yeah, he deserved it.
He did. He does.
And I think there was a lot of closure there because there was very hard feelings between the Big Ugly and All Pro Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and Supreme Pro Wrestling and All Pro Wrestling. For years, they were just at odds with each other, and I think there was a lot of closure. And I remember afterwards, later on in the evening, I was my wife and I were sitting in the crowd with the Big Ugly's wife, and we're mm-hmm. talking, and then she just stops all of a sudden. She's like, is he talking to Roland Alexander, the head of uh-huh. All Pro Wrestling? I'm like, yeah. And they're just sitting there at the bar, just the two of them just having a talk, and they shake hands, they hug, and it's like, I think it's kind of nice to see that that's the direction that the independent wrestling scene is taking here on the Northern California side. And I really credit what Bobby Hart and Rick Luxury are doing.
Yep, like, that's
really
awesome.
Trying to, hey, let's acknowledge these guys. Let's acknowledge the ones who paved the way and the, you know, and just do something fun.
That's
for
awesome.
Them.
And I think it's great to hear feds, you know, swapping talent. So you're getting the best of the best
exactly.
at all your shows instead of, you know, one company having exactly. two really great wrestlers and a roster of, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, mediocre.
Mediocre to adequate.
And I think it's also going to make people up their game.
Absolutely.
You know, if
they're not going to get comfortable in, well, I'm over with the crowd.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And then you have someone come in and you're like, oh.
Yeah, this guy's really good. And these guys who are making names, I mean, you have like names like Chupacabra,
mm-hmm.
Timothy Thatcher, J.R. Kratos, Sir Samurai even. Like, these guys are making their name
yep.
everywhere. And so when they come into your company, you're like, uh-oh, we better up it.
Yep. Well, yeah. I remember when Oliver John first came
yeah.
in, and he was one
yeah.
that was kind of a, you know, not a homegrown
yeah.
talent. And it was just like, oh,
this guy's the real deal,
you know, and just things like that. You know, I remember XPW coming mm-hmm. up from Southern California
yeah.
to a lesser extent, because yeah. that was all, I don't know, they came in almost as like a takeover thing, maybe,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
instead of working with the show,
yeah.
Kind of, but
yeah.
Just as an outsider, you
yeah.
know, I was just up on stage being the yeah. announcer, but.
Well, I remember when the Big Ugly was working in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you listening, the Big Ugly, he was the trainer and the owner of a company here in Sacramento called Supreme Pro Wrestling, and he really, you know, taught so many people
yeah.
what they know, and then the people who are teaching now learned from him.
Mm-hmm.
So he started making connections in Oregon, and then once he started establishing himself in Oregon, then he started bringing his students up there. And I remember, you know, being in that first crew of, like, I mean, we'd rent a van and there'd be like eight of us. We would just drive up there and we'd go to this promotion, and it would be a little tense in the locker
sure.
room, because who are these guys coming into our promotion? And they all look better than us. They're all better on the mic than us. They have better looking gear than us. And I'm pretty confident in saying we upped the ante on their show. It's like they were going out in cutoffs and t-shirts,
sure.
you know, all trying to be the wannabe Sandman gimmick kind of thing. And here we are with gear and gimmicks and merchandise and mic skills and just being able to really perform in the ring. And I think it really made them up their game.
No, that's awesome.
And I think that because the friends that we had up there are like, yeah, now these guys are starting to take this a little more seriously, because they're seeing
that rules.
If someone else, if they don't, we'll bring people in to do it.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
I think that was really important. And it was great to see the Big Ugly get his
absolutely
get what he deserved
yeah.
in both the praise and in the good natured ribbing. Of
so
the,
there was
a roast
at the end. There was a roast of the Big yeah. Ugly, and I will say that our friend El Flaco Loco,
mm-hmm.
Was by far the best. But and not to crap on anyone else, but. How well did you prepare for that? Like, were you going back looking at roasts, like Comedy Central roasts, or?
Quite honestly, I found out that night that I was going to be one of the roasters.
Wow, good for you!
And so I knew that they asked me to if I would introduce the people who were roasting, and then they said, "Well, and will you roast them as well?" I'm like, "Okay." So I just started jotting down notes backstage. And things and I knew what would be too far.
Sure,
I knew what would be too far, because you can take things too far and uncomfortable. And as some of the roasters made
uncomfortable. I think that's what I appreciated about yours is mm-hmm. even if you hit them mm-hmm. low, there's a way to always bring it back
yeah.
to make people laugh.
Yeah,
but there were guys that just, and not just at him, there were guys that threw out barbs at other people
mm-hmm.
that were just low blows and
yeah.
that were mean spirited.
Yeah,
and it didn't bring it back to the funny
yeah.
and at a roast, it always has to come back to the funny.
Exactly.
Like you can
exactly.
hit someone just low But A has to be funny. Mm. And B, after these, you know,
it has to be something. And I'd like to think that, you know, your casual fan should be able to get it.
If sure.
You can't throw nothing but inside jokes out up there. And all you're going to do is exclude the audience.
Yeah.
You want to make the audience feel, okay, this is funny. I think Gabe, the Big Ugly, I think he really appreciated it.
He did.
All of it.
He was
a good guy, and he definitely deserved everything.
He
that
did.
Night.
Yeah,
he deserved
great.
Everything. The love, the fun, the humor, and more importantly, the respect.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
That he deserves. And I mean, he really is one of the best teachers I've ever had.
He really is
one of the best teachers I have ever had.
Well, we'll even go back. You know, it was always funny that he had heat with APW because mm-hmm. when I knew him, man, stuff would happen mm-hmm. and it would just make me so mad.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd just go, yeah, you know, that's their thing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, he was so good. And I would see stuff thrown at him.
Mm-hmm.
I would see guys just bag him and then come in looking for work. And he'd always just shrug it off,
mm-hmm.
give them work. But he knew. And he's like, mm-hmm. yeah, well, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
the thing that would always upset me, and it still upsets me, is, you know, so many people starting up their wrestling schools, and they will claim to have trained certain wrestlers. And one, John Hennigan in particular, John Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
So many different people are claiming, they open up their schools claiming to be John Morrison's trainer. The Big Ugly, J.D. Bishop, our friend, he was the person who trained
him
before he got accepted into Tough Enough.
John will always say that too in interviews. And that was one of the bummers about the Art of Wrestling is they didn't get into where he was trained.
Yeah.
You know, they just went into his gymnastics background and then went to Tough Enough. And that bummed me out because... Mm-hmm. He does when you, and that's the thing. He does. Timothy Thatcher talks about Supreme Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Christina Von Erie talks about Supreme Pro Wrestling. And as much as I like the guy, Sal Tomaselli says he was trained somewhere else.
Yeah.
And when I was the announcer, he was the ref. I know where he got trained.
Yeah,
and that's that really bums me out. And I like Sal
and
a
then
lot.
Goes, and it goes back to that person that you said Gabe was. I remember when Sal went from Supreme Pro Wrestling to Pro Wrestling Iron. He was one of the top students and was getting to the point where he was also one of the trainers.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was approached by another company saying, hey, we want you to come train with us. You know, the whole thing of a lot of wrestling promotions back then was like, come train with us. We have connections in Japan. We'll get you booked in Japan.
Okay.
That was always the hook, line, and sinker. We'll get you booked in Japan. Sal's never been to Japan.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it at that. But Gabe was like, you know, I remember Sal saying, hey, what do I do? They're giving me this opportunity. And Gabe was like, dude, I can't tell you to stay here. Go,
yeah.
go. He just told him, go do it. I'd be upset with you if you didn't take
this chance. See the world. Go.
Well, Sal went to go see the world in the Bay Area and basically trained for like a week and then became one of the trainers there. And that was all he got. And so,
yeah, that's just a bummer. And then to say I was trained at Pro Wrestling Iron, that just bums me out.
No, he was a trainer there. He wasn't trained there, but that was the thing that always bothered me is like, you know, how these people would claim to have trained John Hennigan. And you know, if you ask Ugly, you know, he wouldn't get upset at those people who claim.
No, he always says, oh, I didn't teach him anything. I just taught him how to. Yeah. Whatever. I taught him how to fall on his back, or he just says something mundane.
And then he'll also, he still owes me a month of ring crew too, by the way. He left before he finished his ring crew duties.
That's funny.
And which was funny because after John was already in Tough Enough, he came back to visit family. It was like a Thanksgiving or Christmas time. And he came over to camp. He came over to the Supreme Pro Wrestling training camp and hung out and talked to everyone. And John helped set up the ring.
That's awesome.
Didn't even ask him. He grabbed a board, threw it up there, was grabbing metal, setting it up, and even worked in the ring for a little bit. And he did say, you know, just you can't, you know, don't take any pictures and post them anywhere because I can get in trouble, you know, because I have a contract, so I can't be doing this kind of stuff. But John was really cool about that.
That's cool. Well, let's take a break.
All right.
Here's to lift up our glass to our friend, the Big Ugly.
Big Ugly, this is for you.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the show coming up this weekend.
And wrestling.
More wrestling.
So let me get this straight. All I have to do is go to vowelmovements.net.
That's correct.
And I click the button that says support.
That's correct.
And it takes me to a page where all I have to do is click on something and it's going to take me directly to Amazon.
That's also correct.
Well, then what happens from there?
Click on that link and it takes you to Amazon.com and it's business as usual. You're on Amazon, buying stuff left and right, but Vowel Movements is getting some credit for it.
But does it cost any more?
Not a penny more.
Do it. It's the right thing to do.
All right, all punk rock here on episode 25 of Vowel Movements.
Bobby and I were just skateboarding outside.
So we've heard from Black Flag, we've heard from the Addicts, we've heard from the Misfits, we've heard from the Circle Jerks.
Yeah.
Why have we been listening to this tonight, Dan?
Well, I'm very thankful that you chose those musical selections. Those are some of the bands that are going to be covered this weekend in Sacramento, California for the Birthday Bash, which all the proceeds go to the American Cancer Society and Mr. Brian Hanover, who his band Union Hearts is going to be performing a Black Flag tribute set.
Awesome.
He also does wonderful silk screening, and he silk screens shirts that have the Black Flag logo and two different versions. There's a kid-friendly and a not-so-kid-friendly version.
I would assume kid-friendly says cancer sucks, not-so-kid-friendly says F cancer.
Yes.
All right.
And then on the back it lists all the bands who are playing and all the bands who are being covered as well. So each night there's about four artists or four different bands, and it's going to be a fun time. I've had a chance to see the Black Flag tribute sets set list. That was really cool. I found out that the band that's covering the Circle Jerks, they're doing the entire Group Sex album from beginning to end.
That's pretty awesome.
In order, so I'm pretty excited about that. Secretions, we got to learn a bunch of Groovy Ghoulies songs. So ours is kind of an older school set.
Cool.
A lot of things off of Appetite for Adrenochrome and World Contact Day, and kind of the stuff that we would have seen the Ghoulies perform at Old Ironsides.
Very cool.
Kind of a cross between the Wendy Powell era and the early Scampi era.
Very cool.
Kind of a cross between those two. So it's been a lot of fun learning those songs and playing them.
So I got to say that, excuse me, for those that don't know, I am sick for the first time in like 2 years.
Yeah, you're never sick.
Man, I used to be sick all the time, but yeah, I have something nasty. So excuse me for coughing and sounding like Froggy from Little Rascals. But knowing, that you were going to come over,
yeah,
I wanted to get some music ready, and I know Secretions are doing the Groovy Ghoulies, and so I'm like, oh, I'll pick a Groovy Ghoulie song. I only had like two Groovy Ghoulies records on my computer. So I got out all the records, and I started, loading them into the computer, and I took a little trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome because I had them chronologically, so, I put in Appetite, and I'm like, wow, I haven't heard Ghoul chant in 15 years,
Appetite, Born in the Basement.
Yeah.
I listened to those. I remember when World Contact Day was... Oh, I remember when Born in the Basement was a... Oh, my gosh. They're putting out a CD. When it was on Green Door Records. Yep. It was Green Door.
It was Green Door.
Green Door, because before that it was Crimson Corpse Records. It was for me a trip because I got to drum for the Ghoulies for a tour, so we're playing a lot of the songs that I got to play on that tour.
Rules.
So things off of Adrenochrome and Born in the Basement and World Contact Day, and then a couple of others that I've always wanted to play on, like songs like Till Death Do Us Party, and things like that. Those are some Vampire Girl. Those are some of the songs that I always wanted to play, but those were afterwards. Those are like the Dan Panic and that wacky era of Dan Panic and Matt Shrug
and Amy.
Yeah, wow, forgot about that one. Yeah, so we were gonna think about how we're gonna dress for this. So we were gonna dress as various eras of the Groovy Ghoulies. We were either going to do the various eras of Kepi,
okay,
and Paul was going to be the glammed out Appetite for Adrenochrome Kepi.
Awesome.
With a silver pants and blonde hair. And Mickey was going to be the, I forget, I think he was going to be the long hair.
Blacked out eyes.
And I was just going to be the short hair, red sunglasses era. Gotcha. Kepi from the Groovy Ghoulies. But
when did you meet the Ghoulies? Like, what was your first meeting? Do you remember?
My first meeting was, the first time I met them was at a show. I went to see them at a show at Sac State. And then the first time I ever approached them was a show that they played at the Cattle Club. And that was also the first time I met Tom Hutchison.
Oh, okay.
The Knockoffs. And then, after that, I just started emailing with Kepi. And then I and ended up, I don't know how we exchanged phone numbers.
There wasn't email back then.
There was email back then. I think there was
not.
I'm trying to figure out how I don't know how I got his phone number.
You couldn't have. You had to have just called it because we all used to call each other back
then. Yeah, so I called. Then that was it. It wasn't an email.
You could have had a computer back then, but that had to be like 91, 92, right?
Yeah,
93?
Yeah, it was like 91, 92.
How many of our listeners know a world before email?
I don't know. My students have no world without MySpace. So there you go.
My first time seeing the Ghoulies was at the Cattle Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't
what was
remember.
The lineup? Was it with Brian or what?
It was Brian. Okay, Brian. Gosh darn, I can't remember. I want to say they opened up for Young... they did. They opened up for the Young Fresh Fellows.
Okay.
That was exactly it, because I was thinking, well, I saw Jellyfish, but Anton Barbeau opened up for Jellyfish. That's when I saw Anton. But... yeah, I saw the Groovy Ghoulies at the Cattle Club, and I really liked them. Corey said, "Oh, I think you'll like this band," and I did. And so they had merch, not much. They had some 45s, so I bought the Christmas on Mars 45
with the little card with the Fang Club card.
I don't know. We should go up after the show. The single is in one of those singles boxes up there, but. I also signed the mailing list, and I signed, Bobby Jordan, whatever my address was at the time. Mm. And then maybe 2 weeks, a month later, I went to Old Ironsides to see a show. I think it was maybe Moist and Trash Women or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rochelle comes walking up. She says, "Hey, Bobby Jordan." I laughed. I said, "You remember my name?" She's like, "Oh, your name has a ring to it." And then we were just buddies. Huh. Like after that, we were just buds.
But I know it was through the Ghoulies that I met you. And
The first time that I don't remember the first time we were around each other. The first time I remember being around each other was a show at the Guild.
Okay.
And
okay.
You were talking to Kepi, and then I walked up and we were all talking. And then
because one of the first times that I remember hanging out with you was at the old Ghoulie Manor.
Oh, yeah.
Which was over by the cemetery when Wendy, Rochelle and Kepi all lived in the same house, and I remember there was like parties there, just
yes,
really, 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 you know, casual parties, you know, just nothing too crazy. Yeah, you know, I remember
we were we were hanging out there, and so it was later on, like we had been hanging out with the Ghoulies for a little while, and it was when Green Day had their first special on MTV. It was a live special, So Corey and I are talking. Corey said, "Yeah, I got their single when it first came out." Like, yeah, I saw them at the coffee house in Davis with like 10 other people. And we're kind of going back and forth. Yeah, we used to call Billy Joe to make sure he was playing before we went down to Berkeley to see him. And whatever, we're just like maybe thinking we're cool or something. And Tom H. goes, "Yeah, I used to date a sister." Just trumped us.
Yeah,
like here we are. Yeah, done. We used to go see him all the time. Yeah. Tom's like, "I used to date a sister." I was like, you win.
But it's been fun learning those songs.
It's been fun
learning those songs, and all the other bands I've had a chance to hear. Urban Wolves are doing the Bouncing Soul, so we all kind of practice in the same warehouse, so I got to hear them for a little bit, and got to see a couple of other bands practicing their sets, and so it should be a fun time.
So it's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Where?
Friday and Saturday at Luigi's Fun Garden here in Sacramento. That's on 1050 20th Street in downtown. And then Sunday's at the Press Club, which is on 21st and P in downtown. That one's a 21 and over show. But the first night bands that are being covered are the Bouncing Souls, the Queers, the Alkaline Trio and the Misfits. That's okay. First night. And then each night there's going to be a surprise act. And so the surprise act on that first night is this band called Abandoned Generation.
Well, that isn't a surprise anymore.
If you listen to this afterwards, it will be. No. So it's just kind of, I've even announced it online. Just kind of a little showcase act. They're a young punk band.
Okay,
they're
doing their own stuff.
Yeah, they're just doing their own stuff. I just want to give them, put them right in the middle. Just give them a chance to, hey, just kind of expose this new.
And I'm sorry, I interrupted. What was their name again?
Abandoned Generation.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny because members of that band, we used to play with their parents.
Ouch.
So these are kids of bands that we used to play with a long time ago. So it's really cool.
My
friend Dan. My friend Dan, his daughter, plays guitar in that band. So it's really cool.
Okay. The Saturday show?
The Saturday show, it is going to be The Replacements.
All right.
The Groovy Ghoulies.
All right.
Bad Religion and Black Flag.
Oh.
And the special guest is going to be Pat Hills from Bastards of Young.
Oh, doing a Billy Bragg thing,
doing
right?
an all Billy Bragg
that
set.
That rules. So
he
I
even
am,
recorded some stuff and is going to be selling CDs of him doing Billy Bragg songs.
That's awesome. I am going to the Saturday show.
Cool.
So
cool,
that's
cool,
the show I will be at. And then what's the Sunday?
Sunday is going to be at the Press Club. It's going to be the Moans are doing the Ramones. Mm-hmm. And then the Scoundrels, this band called the Scoundrels, they're going to be doing the Attics. And then they're... Cold Heart Repress is doing Murder City Devils.
Wow.
And Sarah, who plays guitar, is actually playing keyboards for the band, just to really capture that. And then the band Dog Food is doing The Circle Jerks.
Very cool.
And I was trying to get a surprise performance from Bastards of Young just to play, but just because I wanted Sean to be a part of it, since he's been such a big help in the planning of all this. I wanted him to be involved, but their drummer is going to be away, so they can't do it.
What is wrong with drummers? Drummers are weirdos.
You got to find a guitarist who plays drums. Seriously, you have to find a guitarist who plays drums. That's what I like to.
Some of my
myself.
Best friends in life are drummers, but man, they are weirdos.
Yeah, Tom, Big Tom, he's kind of a weird guy.
He is a weird guy.
He likes fish.
He does.
He likes fish.
Yeah, we'll have some knockoff snooze.
Yeah,
in the next month or two. And
yeah, exciting.
Tom's fishing will be a part of that.
It's 4 a.m. It's happening again.
That's 4 a.m. It's happening again.
Yeah,
so
we'll just leave it
don't
at
read
that.
Too much into the it's happening again, because it's not what you think. But there's going to be some knockoffs news maybe at the first of the year. So
yeah, that'll be exciting. I'm excited about that.
I am. It was really great to pull back the curtain a little bit, just to have a little email thread going on with you and Tom and Tom. It was kind of neato.
Well, it's kind of, being in a band is being in a relationship. And it's this awkward polygamous relationship when you're in a band, especially when you're getting older and, you get a little more sensitive about certain things and things, sometimes relationships fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird because the band is what, and everything we shared as a band, because I don't think I'm disrespecting Tom at all. But, for me personally, I kind of had a falling out with Tom. And we both took some time away and then we kind of sat down, hashed it out and had a talk. And it's like, I'd like to think that it wasn't just because of the band. It was because there was something more there. It's like we shared something and it was really cool to have that falling out with a friend and more importantly, making up with that friend and just have, hashing out. Let me tell you all the things that upset me.
Well, I had always thought and hoped that, that day would come because, I've been lucky enough to have a couple of bands, Red Star Memorial and the Knockoffs that transcended the bands.
Yeah.
And, with Red Star Memorial, I've known Steve and Chris since we were teenagers.
Yeah.
excuse me. And then with the Knockoffs, we all became best friends, know, like I hung out with Little Tom a lot. I ended up living with Big Tom. I mean, he is absolutely one of my best friends. Amazingly, you and I got close kind of after
the
band broke up.
I thought that was funny because in the band, it's like,
We hung out,
but nothing really not band related.
Sure.
It was like after the band, you and I think that's safe to say that our friendship got better.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. By far.
And,
I always, I've been in a lot of bands. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think I may have said this on the show before, but there was some thing going around on Facebook. Oh, hey, have you seen 20 bands live? Mm-hmm. And I wrote, seen 20 bands live. I've been in 20 bands that have played live. And so I listed all the bands, and I only listed them if we had actually played a show, mm-hmm. not just bands that, you know, you got
did
together.
Did you list your first band?
Of course I did.
And who can you say the name of that band?
I think so. It was Jism Head.
Best but, story ever.
But the my point being is that I've been in a ton of bands, mm-hmm. and I've been in bands with people I really like, yeah. but the bands broke up when those relationships faded. And a lot of them, if I see them out, oh, hey, great. It's great yeah. to see you. But, you know, the Knockoffs was different.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe it was our age. It was what we went through as a band. It was maybe the precipice of what we could have been.
Yeah.
You know, that there were things that could have happened for us that whatever didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about that band that makes me feel a brotherly connection to
it
everyone.
Definitely,
but
it
I
definitely
really
was. Because I was going to say, you know, I've been in bands with my brother, and to show how hard it is to be in a band with someone, like, my brother and I didn't speak for like a year after one of our bands fell apart. It's tough. It's tough, you know, especially I know I'm not an easy person to be in a band with. And I'm really happy with it. I don't know if it's gone completely full circle with the Knockoffs, but I'm really happy the path it's gone.
It's not full circle yet. Yeah. I think with what we, and I don't know if we're going to announce anything,
yeah.
really. It might just, whatever is going to happen might yeah. just happen. But yeah. To me, that's what I'm looking forward to for some kind of full circle. And, yeah. and not closure, because I don't want that,
no.
what we're working yeah. on to be the end by any means, because really, it's going to be full circle bringing us back together as friends.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really looking
yeah.
forward to.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's, to me, it was really important to sit down with someone who I had serious beef with.
Sure.
And who had serious beef with me. And for us to say what we needed to say, get over it, and just tell each other we loved each other.
Yep.
And leave it at that and move on. And I think if you're not in a band, if you've never been in a band, you don't get what the people who are in a band go through.
No.
This, you know, I mean, I think it's...
Even think artists, it, because, you yeah. know, artists, it's just you, you know, mm-hmm. it's you and your art. If
yeah.
you're a comedian, it's just you and your comedy.
Yeah.
So maybe a comedy troupe where you're maybe working with other people, but there's always people in and out of that. When you're in a band, yeah. it's, well, and especially like the Knockoffs, I mean, it was, Knockoffs were a band before we were in the mm-hmm. band.
Yeah.
But from the year, whatever it was, 1996 or 97, mm-hmm. until, you know, the mid 2000s, it was the four of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a big bond there.
Yeah,
that,
absolutely.
You know, of,
and I think it's the bond is greater when the band isn't super financially successful. Because yeah. it wasn't one of those things where, like, I mean, I look at my all-time favorite band, the Ramones, and everything I read and hear about them is, you know, they didn't speak to each other for the last 10 years because that was their job.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't in a band together. They just all worked mm-hmm. together. And we never really worked together. We were a band together. It's like we weren't paying bills
no,
with our band. I mean, we were all chipping in for gas. We mm-hmm. were all chipping in to put out CDs and merchandise. We were all, you know, and I think that's what makes it, you have to really be in it to win it at that point. And
yeah, like, I think you're right.
You know, and I feel sorry for those bands that are like, they get together. You know, I was telling someone about Good Charlotte. Their first tour was the Warp Tour, you know, traveling in a
sure.
tour bus. That band never traveled around in a van and
yeah.
played gigs here and there. They were put together and made a huge, and were a huge band right away. You know, the Sum 41.
Uh-huh. Same
they're
thing,
they're celebrating
right?
their 10-year anniversary of their big album.
Okay.
10-year anniversary. And I'm like, geez, the Secretions have been around for twice as long as that. You know, Knockoffs, we were around for, you know,
sure.
15 years. And but, you know, it's like we weren't doing it for the success. We were doing it for the fun
sure.
and the love of what we were doing. So.
Although, you know, in hindsight, perhaps we should have done it a little bit for the success.
That would have been nice. Success.
I mean,
been
the
nice.
Fact is, I'll just lay it out. I mean, we had opportunities
yeah.
that for whatever reason, we didn't
take them.
And. You know, and part of it is everyone's to blame. And I've always
yeah.
said that it was a 25% blame to go around.
Yeah.
But, you know, in hindsight, there were things that all four of us could have done differently in our lives to make
yeah.
that happen.
Yeah.
And, it's not a regret because it's whatever. That was the path that it took, and that's fine. I mean, who knows? We may have killed each other if we were actually in a bus together traveling. But when I saw other bands, Good Charlotte, Sum 41, Blink 182, I honest to God believe this, like Knockoffs could have filled those spots.
Yeah.
But with better songs.
Yeah.
And so that was, I don't know, that's maybe a little arrogant to say, but honestly, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, that probably could have been us. Yeah. So
we had better music.
We did.
We have better music.
We still have the records.
Yeah, there you go.
We still have a ton of songs.
You can still find them on eBay. You can find 12 Sucker Punches on eBay every now and then. I don't even have a copy of that anymore.
You don't?
No, I don't.
That one's rare. I might have two because I
have a couple Sell the Moves.
I see a couple of Sell the Moves right on the CD rack. I'm looking over there to see if
I think I have an IC London, IC France.
Yep.
And then I've got a few of the 7-inches that they put out before we were in the band.
Huh. Well, anyway, look for something. Don't look for it. Just don't be surprised when all of a sudden you see the Knockoffs name coming out.
There you go.
All right, we're leaving.
We're done.
We're done. We're not going to wait. Are we going to wait 2 months again?
No.
Are you sure? Because Thanksgiving is coming up, and then Christmas
coming up. But I'll be on a break. For Christmas, so I can definitely come.
Maybe
for
we
that.
Can put the hammer lock on Tim Pratt and have him get the section of the studio together for us.
We can do that.
I go over there. I go to the studio, and our little room for our podcast is always in the same state.
Oh, which is
Of not being completed.
Okay.
So all right. We're going to lean on Tim Pratt a little bit.
All right, we will do that. We will do that.
Go visit Ted Angel at tedangel.com.
Tedangel.com, the newly married Ted Angel.
He's all
website.
Married. He has time to do stuff.
Yeah.
And like we said earlier, it's time for bands to take ownership of themselves again. You don't have to get off of Facebook, but go make your internet presence your own.
Yeah, make your own website.
That's right.
Vowelmovements.com.
Is that we're going to be the new Facebook?
I think everyone should open up a Vowel Movements account.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Maybe by the time this airs, I'll have comments.
There you go.
I'll have comments. Abled? What am I trying
Enabled.
To say?
Enabled. There you go.
I barely graduated high school, folks.
He's on a heavy dose of Dristan right now. Are you on any cold medicine?
I'm not. I should do something.
Oh,
I keep coughing.
It's so much fun.
I cannot hear out of my right ear. It is the craziest thing.
You, neti pot.
Man, neti I just pot. Feel like I'm waterboarding myself when I do the neti pot.
You do, but once you get past that little period of you, oh my God, I'm going to drown myself in the sink. It's so refreshing.
All right. We'll see. All right. We're out of here.
We're out of here.
Say adios.
Adios. Rainbow. You're a little rock and roll rainbow. You're a little And Brian Hanover was like, he's like, I can't, you know, because Brian's going to be singing the Black Flag songs.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I just hope Joe Friday's up front so I can punch him in the face. He's like, I'm just going to get in and be like, yeah, bam. And like, hold out the mic for him to sing and then punch him. Like, oh, Brian.